strike actions as seen in many other countries. It comes down to the question of, will I be alive tomorrow? What is more important, my surviving for another day or protesting climate issues? The latter would induce a reaction from the Zionist regime interest in the form of military action or settler action to protest the violence of the youth protest. As for recycling, systems and geographies created under occupation do not allow for an interest in recycling efforts. Gaza carried much of the discussion as it is an imprisonment enclave entirely controlled by the Zionist regime. It suffers from issues as indicated, from heat and flooding, but derived in part from this food insecurity. In addition, 25% of good agricultural land is in the buffer zone declared by the Zionist regime, a de facto free fire zone for the IDF. The Zionist regime controls food imports and exports by way of the Gaza blockade. Military and foreign aid pressure is used to deliberately increase the cultural destruction of Palestine. The deliberate destruction of the emblematic olive trees is an attack on both food security and cultural identity. The 15-year blockade of Gaza has weakened and jeopardized Gaza's infrastructure, in particular with water, wastewater, and general pollution. The Zionist regime water diversion and co-option of Palestinian agriculture, that is, strawberries in northern Gaza, marketed as production seriously affects the food security of the population, now at 68% of the population, and only going to increase as the adaptive capacity of Gaza is already exhausted. They are economically and socially and culturally much more vulnerable to damages. The field of cultural geography covers the various topics raised in the discussion of the environment and its impacts on Palestine. Ironically, from the title, apartheid was not discussed per se, but is evident through the discussions of parks, forests, erased villages, hazardous toxic waste sites, and Gaza, and is visible on the cartographic expression of the geography. The graphic information presented by visualizing Palestine is clear, immediate, and easy to understand. It is an important addition to the overall struggle for freedom from colonial settlerism, ethnic cleansing, and the apartheid nature of the system it creates.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
In the name of God, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam, dear listeners, my brothers and sisters from every single corner in the world, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well. This is Arab English Radio, and here is your favorite youth station. My name is Asma.
Choo-choo-ka-choo, it's the youth station for
yes.
You. That is
that's
our
the slogan.
Tagline.
Yes,
right
that's
there.
The tag. My name is Asma, and I'm glad to be at your service, sharing some priceless moments together here with us. We have
Muzaffar Haider.
Yes, we have our brother Muzaffar. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, though I have a little cold, but it's okay.
Inshallah, may Allah bless you and protect you, inshallah.
Yes, thank you very much. It's not Corona, though. Well, speaking of cold and sickness, there was a time in my life, I'm talking of my own personal experience right now, when I experienced a time, an era in my life where everything was falling apart and they were running out of my control. At the very beginning of the pandemic, my father got sick, like very sick, in a very bad way. And there was not much of knowledge about the sickness. And yet he got the worst form of it. And all we had to do was just praying. Beside our personal problems, there was a sickness and everything was just running out of control. I'm just thinking about some other people who are going through some exact situations like me. In those times, you really are hopeless. You don't know what you're going to do.
So I was talking to my friend, and he was, like, really miserable. He was down, you know. He's one of those friends who's always upset, right? And I wanted to cheer him up. I said, listen. He was like, no, it's really bad right now. I was like, listen, just to give you some comfort, it's not just you that's suffering right now. The entire world is in, like, a bad place right now. And not to sound insensitive, like I understand that it
no,
was
that's sympathizing actually.
But it feels for me
at the moment it's very difficult for the one to understand that.
But for me it was like, okay, it's almost like you feel a togetherness with others when you start to realize it in that way. Because sometimes, you know, you're in a difficult situation and nobody can understand it.
Yes, exactly.
But then I feel like in the Corona times, humanity's a very weird part of it has started to identify
to
itself.
Show up, yes.
Yeah, you know,
we're
it
all the same in the same
boat.
Yeah,
we're all in the same boat. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're this or that. You know, we're
everyone is vulnerable.
Asantum, asantum.
Recommendations for those who are feeling they're in a time that everything is falling apart and everything is going out of control and they don't know what they should do.
I want to say patience, but it would sound like so much of a cliche. Like, oh,
do you practice that?
I try, but I'm very impatient, if I'm being totally honest. You know,
I think everyone is so impatient.
وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا.
Exactly.
We are
that's our essence.
We're very, very weak. You know, mankind has been created weak, and we are, you know, a little bit of pressure, and we buckle.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, one extraordinary thing that I really did experience just recently is I was going through a sickness, right? I was just sick.
Yes.
You know, that's all, I was sick. And at one point, I was just like, astaghfirullah, I shouldn't even be saying this.
Yes, I know what you mean. That happens to everyone.
You know, I just felt like, God, why?
Yes.
For crying out loud, why? You know?
And right now, why right now?
But as soon as I said that, it kind of just stopped. And it was really bizarre because I actually felt that that was Allah's test and I had just failed.
Yes, that's true. You know? It happened to me too.
You know, and I wish I had not lost my temper. I wish I'd been more patient.
Yes, but that's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Very difficult.
And before that, though, I was like, you know, Ya Allah, I want to be like Prophet Ayyub, you know. Prophet Ayyub would put
pressure,
through so many.
But the pressure, exactly when you say that, the pressure is more visible. And then right after that, you would lose your temper.
Oh, yeah, you do. Practically speaking, it's a whole different story, and most of us do fail. We can't put up with a little bit of tribulation in this world. You know, there's a hadith, sister, that says that those who pass away from here, right, they go into the barzakh, they go into the world of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will be wishing that they had been cut to pieces with scissors in this dunya.
Yes, yes.
Because of how much it would have alleviated their pains on that side.
Yes, okay, yes. Right, so the more you suffer, strange.
Pain really is a cleanser, especially over here.
Yes.
The more suffering you endure over here, the less you will...
There's a growth system behind that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God's blessing comes through afflictions. The more you're going through pains, and the more God is taking you in his hands, in his arms, and the more you are going to have blessings. But at the difficult, at those miserable situations that you have, it's very difficult to understand that.
Absolutely,
because days are going so hard, and they look like every day looks like a century. So for a human being who is so weak and fibbling, it's very difficult to tolerate those situations.
When we wake up on that side, like after death, we are going to, literally life is going to feel like the twinkling of an eye or a single day.
Of course, yes.
And yet when you are in that moment of pressure and pain and suffering,
everything
it feels
seems,
like forever.
Yes,
it just feels like an eternity. I was actually talking to a youth just yet last night. I was trying to explain to this youth about the existence of hell.
Yes.
Lots of people, especially in the Western world, they have a real problem with fathoming or accepting that hell really does exist.
Well, that does exist.
They have a problem accepting it, right?
Because there are those who really deserve to go in hell.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I said. I said, look, those who deserve to go to hell, you don't understand what their essence actually is. If you recognized what a true kafir is, not the average, you know, John or Joe walking down the street, but an actual kafir, if you knew what was inside their soul, how psychopathic they are, how much they lack empathy, how much hatred and jealousy they have,
how much brutality we've seen through history.
But see, I was talking him through this, and we came on to the idea of suffering. And this youth, he said something really remarkable. He said, do you know what? I think that Allah created suffering for a reason. And that reason is to reform us.
Exactly. Why? To shape us.
To shape us, right? Yes. So the more you suffer, you'll notice that the more you really do shine.
Yes,
right?
Like the story of diamonds. They go through so much of pressure.
Right?
And scientifically speaking, we could say that the more they go through pressures, the more beautiful and precious they are.
It's the hardest substance that we know of.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, so then he said, okay, that explains hell. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if suffering was created for our reformation, if we refuse to reform ourselves, the suffering will continue and it will get worse and worse and worse. And that's why they are in hell.
Yes, that's very true.
Isn't that profound?
Yes, of course.
See, one thing I've learned talking to youths is that you don't always need to give them answers. If you just ask them the right questions, they come up with the right answers themselves.
Little by little, step by step, we get to the conclusion that there is a reason behind suffering.
But since we're on the subject of patience, I came across a really scary verse of the Quran. It said that those who are put into hell, they'll be told, now, if you be patient or you be impatient, it will make no difference.
Exactly.
You are going to be in hell
now. The time has passed.
Allah,
you have done what you have done.
Right? So even if a person says, you know, I'm going to be patient and endure this patiently, does not make a difference. You're in hell now.
Yes.
It doesn't change. Okay, so now let's come out of hell for a moment, come back to ourselves, right?
So we're speaking of the situations where everything is going out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we talked about patience, and we said that practicing patience is very difficult, but it has got some blessing in the end.
Absolutely. So there's this verse, hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
He says that there are two days in a man's life, one which is with him and one which is against him.
Yes, against him.
As for the day which is with him, he should be thankful.
Don't be so happy.
He should be thankful.
Yes.
Right. And as for the day which is against him, he should be patient.
Patient, yes.
And I really do feel like, and I feel like a hypocrite for saying this because I don't practice it. May Allah give me the tawfiq to practice it.
Of course, to every single one of us.
Islam is actually showing us a kind of ilahi amin, a kind of attitude that we're supposed to develop.
Yes.
We don't have this attitude.
Yeah.
You know, sister, I was talking to a brother who was actually anxious. He was suffering anxieties and stuff, right? And I told him this hadith, and he said, "Yeah, I know." I said, but then he goes, "But when I'm having a good day, I'm worried that it's going to turn bad
exactly,
any moment."
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
He's just worried.
That's one of my anxieties as well.
There you go. And we all
so
do
we
it.
Don't even enjoy the good days.
Exactly. Now, what is Ali alayhi salam telling us here? He's telling us when you're having a good day,
just be thankful.
Be thankful. Don't be worrying, oh, it's going to turn bad any moment. Yeah. Any moment now, a boulder is going to fall on my head. It's
you know,
start
as
raining.
You get older and you're more experienced,
you become pessimistic.
Based on your experiences, you become pessimistic.
So what Islam is actually teaching us is, look, you're going to have ups and downs.
Yes.
Right? Enjoy the ups. Be thankful
and
for the
ups. And don't think about the downs.
Yeah, and when you're in the downs, be patient. You're going
yes,
to go up again
going,
eventually,
yes,
right?
You're going to be out
but
of
we
it.
We don't practice that attitude we're supposed to have, you see?
Yes, exactly. Well, there's exactly where we're going for a little break. Hope you're not tired. Don't go anywhere. Stick to Youth Station. We'll be back as fast as the wind.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So welcome back to your own program, the most desired station in life, Youth Station. This is IRIB English Radio and Asma is talking to you here with us. We have Brother Muzaffar and we're discussing some very fascinating topics. We were talking about controlling things, coping with things, and not losing temper, which is a very difficult topic.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a question for you. So you went through that really difficult time.
Yes.
How did you get through it?
I just prayed, cried a lot, prayed a lot, and God is the only thing that you can clinch into. Mm-hmm. The only thing, the only thought that made me a little bit easier with the situation and alleviated me for a while was that God is watching us, and He, of course, would not leave the person who is lying on Him, who's leaning on Him, mm-hmm. who's trusting Him, who would never let you down. That was the only thing that made me stick together and go on.
Mm-hmm. According to Shahid Dasghib, Ayatollah Dasghib,
yes.
In his book Greater Sins, I believe he lists, after shirk, shirk is the number one greatest sin, according
yes,
to him.
Yes, and then despair.
The second one is despair.
Yes.
Despair, not alcohol, not riba,
yes,
not
and God has always told us mm-hmm. not to go into that phase when you are hopeless and you think there is no hope.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that could ever happen to a person.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest thing when it creeps in your thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is very much around you. It ambushes you wherever you are. It's the easiest one, the one who's always beside you. But you shouldn't give it like leaves and let it grow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You should just go for hope. Hope is the last thing that die.
See, this despair is actually kufr.
Exactly.
It's actually disbelief.
Yes.
And you might not openly announce or even to yourself announce that I no longer believe in God,
yes,
na'udhu billah, or I no longer believe in the Quran, I no longer believe in the Prophet. You might not ever say that or ever think that.
Yes.
But you see, just like we're talking about different attitudes, there is an attitude of Islam, which is that attitude of thankfulness and patience.
Yes. True.
There's an attitude of kufr.
Yes.
And that attitude is despair. It is to kind of let go and be like, yeah, God is there, but He ain't going to help me.
May He forgive us.
May He forgive us, honestly, because we've actually committed that great sin.
Well, just like this, in a blink of an eye, we get to the tail end of another topic in Youth Station. Hope you all enjoyed it wholeheartedly. This was IRIB English Radio, and I was Asma with Brother Muzaffar. We were super pleased to be with you. Until another session of Youth Station, I ask Allah to keep you all safe and sound. May Allah be always on your side.
thought.
Hello, everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Smithsonian's National Zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of a porcupine earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother, Quilliam, is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are about 6 months old. Natives of South America, these prickly creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today. The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in the space, which is approximately a million miles away from the Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope.
The streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 5th. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special cutlets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power. A national zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of the porcupet earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are 6 months old. Natives of South America, these creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today. In Colombia has become a hotspot for tourists. It's built in a unique way, and if you want to enter the house, you have to first walk on the ceiling leading to the door. The upside-down house is named Casa Loca and is located in Guatavita, a short distance from the capital, Bogota. Tourists can be seen walking around taking pictures of this exceptional structure. Many say it fills them with joy to visit such places. Some tourists say this has provided them a chance to gain momentum, some relief from the struggles of the pandemic.
We've come from a pandemic. We've emerged from a lockdown. So this helps people have a moment of relaxation with the novelty that we did not have. You have fun while snapping photos. It puts your mind at ease.
The Austrian creator of Casa Loca says he first got the idea to build a house when he was visiting a similar place in his country back in 2015. He says his grandchildren were stunned by the creation, and that's why he decided to make an upside-down house in Colombia, where he lives now. He says people initially thought he was mad, but he decided to accomplish his plan anyway. The pandemic slowed him down a bit, but he proudly inaugurated the place 3 weeks ago.
Iran has won the first title in team category of the 20th Pan Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championship. Saman Kujuri has more.
Talented Iranian children have ranked first in team category of the 20th Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships, which was held online. Children in five different age groups, including age 5 to 7 as Group A, 8 to 9 Group B, 10 to 11 Group C, 12 to 14 Group D, and 15 or older in Group E, annually attend the contest solving multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square roots, cube roots, fractions, time, and etc. 572 students from 21 member states participated at the event.
This year, Iranian students have won the title of Champion of the Champions in two categories. Moreover, they won titles in all categories, including Champion of Champions titles, Champion titles, First Winners, and the Second Winner titles. In 2023, Iran will host the 22nd edition of the Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships.
The Smart Kids Institute holds a national competition annually in August to select members of the Iranian team for attending the PALMA Global Abacus Championships. Children from 17 to 13 years of age take part in the competition to solve some 7 mathematical test sheets using abacuses.
I am 12 years old. I have won the first title in this round of the international competitions. I have been practicing with abacus for 4 years. In the competitions, we had to solve multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square root, and etc.
My math teacher encouraged me to learn abacus 5 years ago. Abacus and mental arithmetic skills had great impact on my mental growth and helped me a lot in my math lessons.
The championship, organized by a non-profit organization established in 1999, is an example of what can be achieved with early intervention in abacus math and mental arithmetic education.
The purpose of the competition is to allow for observation of mental arithmetic skills from countries around the world and to promote related education to find new talents in this field. Samal Kujuri, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get the chance. However, the Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zora Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalists. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months, traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zora is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a microlight aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumptions. That's absolutely amazing. Let's take a listen.
The plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is. But I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes for the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zora says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zora had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now, Zora says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? In the world of art, a Japanese artist named Sachi is creating incredibly realistic felted wool portraits of cats. Sachi calls her artworks Wakuneko, which directly translates to frame cat. Her work is highly popular, and she has more than 600,000 followers on different social media platforms. Each portrait takes a whopping 1 month to complete. The crafting process starts with Sachi looking at dozens of photos of the cat she wants to replicate. Then she prepares the required materials before preparing the foundation and mounts the felt onto it. The most difficult part of the job is making the subject's eyes. According to Sachi, it is also the most special stage.
I think that the moment when the cat spirit enters into the artwork can be presented through the eyes. In that sense, I have been very particular about how to make the eyes.
Sachi's portraits have inspired people around the world to adopt homeless cats. Now she hopes to hold an exhibition showing various cats, including ones with physical handicaps, in order to inspire more adoptions of shelter cats.
Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful cards. Mayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Mayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office, a 200-year-old houseboat on a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar. Set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt has more.
The Indian administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir, this allowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here. And every day, I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mails, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to two centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, you brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special. Our topic is laziness in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special. Open the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 27th of Jamadil Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of January, 2022 of Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book. We listen to chapter Nisa, verse 72.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإن منكم لمن ليبطئن وإن منكم لمن ليبطئن فإن أصابتكم مصيبة قال قد أنعم الله علي إذ لم أكن معهم شهيدا.
And indeed, there is among you he who lingers behind, and if disaster strikes you, he says, Allah has favored me in that I was not present with them.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this holy verse, the Quran has pointed to some hypocrites and intends to say that these figures and such features, who are among you, vigorously try not to take part in the rows of strivers who struggle in the way of Allah. But when the strivers return from the battlefield, or when the news of war reaches them, that they have suffered a failure or martyrdom, these hypocrites will happily say, what a great bounty Allah has given them that they, hypocrites, did not accompany them, the strivers, I mean, to witness such heart-rending events.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan, Ilayka qalban, Yadhubu hubban, Bin Nuri wal-Iman, Ilayka qalban, Yadhubu hubban, Bin Nuri wal-Iman, Bin Nuri wal-Iman.
Laziness in the view of Islam we're talking about. Laziness is one of the greatest obstacles to attaining success and achievement in this world and the hereafter. and it is one of the most fatal psychological illnesses. It weakens resolve and prevents one from taking steps to do beneficial actions. Hence, the Prophet often used to seek refuge with Allah from it. It was narrated from that the Prophet used to say, "O Allah, I seek refuge with you from laziness and old age, from sin and death, from the trial of the grave and the punishment of the grave, from the trial of the fire and the punishment of the fire, and from the evil of the trial of wealth. I seek refuge with you from the trial of poverty, and I seek refuge with you from the trial of the Dajjal."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with idleness in Islam. At the same time, we find that even in the lifetimes of the infallibles, they were always active. The infallibles, I mean, starting from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even before the advent of Islam, in the life and times of all the divine prophets, you can't find any instance of idleness. I mean, like other ordinary people, the divine prophets were active. I mean, they never spent even a single moment in idleness, because idleness is against our innate nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disposed in us. According to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an idle person has four characteristics. First of all, he's sluggish. I mean, an idle person is sluggish. If you entrust a job to him or her to do, he doesn't show much interest or attention or showing the right attitude. At the same time, I mean, when someone doesn't do anything or any job properly, certainly the end product isn't anything, I mean, reliable or acceptable. Imagine that there are two companies. One company is very much strict, very much careful about its own products, and the other company, okay, doesn't pay much attention to its own products. I mean, the goods of which company would sell better in any community, any human community? Certainly the company which is very strict, which is very careful, and which is very conscientious.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
As the previous episode of today's special, we have a short look at kinds of laziness too, such as financial laziness. This laziness from seeking the different doors of sustenance. Many people nowadays simply want to secure job, the one that pays regular paychecks and nothing more. If we look at our prophets, they were role models in that they each had a trade. Prophet Noah, for example, was a carpenter. Prophet Idris was a tailor. Prophet Muhammad was a shepherd, and then he became a trader. They earned their living from their own hands and did not rely on government paychecks or employment benefits. Prophet Muhammad said, "By him in whose hand my life is, it is better for any one of you to take a rope and cut the wood from the forest, and carrying it over his back and sell it, rather than to ask a person for something and that person may give him or not."
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to.
to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
Among tips to overcome laziness, we can introduce procrastination. Avoid procrastination, which is a form of laziness. If there is something you have to do, why not do it right now and get through with it? Why let it stay nagging at the back of your head? The other tip is avoiding overeating. Yes, of course, overeating leads to laziness and sleepiness. Therefore, we should try and follow the Prophet's advice. He says, "The human does not fill any container that is worse than his stomach. It is sufficient for the son of Adam to eat what will support his back, his energy. If this is not possible, then a third for food, a third for drink, a third for his breath."
Youth today, unfortunately, they face a major problem, the problem of laziness. The Ahlul Bayt were not lazy. The Ahlul Bayt achieved, they produced, they contributed ethically, spiritually, academically. Look at their achievements. Look at their ahadith. Look at their sayings. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Kufa, he went to Kufa. He would speak in Kufa. Some scholars say that he had over 4,000 students that attended his lessons. كُلٌّ يَقُولْ حَدَّثَنِي جَعْفَرُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ 4,000 students. They say, "I narrate from Ja'far ibn Muhammad." Imam Sadiq achieved. Imam al-Baqir achieved. The Imams all produced and achieved and contributed. The Ahlul Bayt want actions from us. They want us to learn from them and to emulate them and to imitate them. Today the problem of laziness, it's widespread. You see youth that spend the night, they're awake. At night they're awake. During the day they sleep. At night, fortunately, you know, with technology is a good thing if it's used in a good way, but it could also be used in a bad way. How many youth, they spend the night watching movies on social media, and you know, with social media you could spend 2 hours and you think you've spent 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You don't realize it and your time is killed. And you stay up till 3 and 4. And then you sleep in till noon, till 1. Now when is this youth going to go study? When is he going to go seek an education? When is he going to go work? This time is being wasted. I tell my dear youth, that my dear friends, don't waste your time. Don't waste your nights and days. Now this is a very bad habit, to stay up at night. It's a bad habit. There are hadith that say, if you want to stay up at night, it should either be for studying, you're reading for an exam, you're writing a paper, this is good. If you're studying, you're staying up at night for educational purposes, this is good, this is mustahab. Or for praying, worshiping, connecting to Allah Azza wa Jal, improving your relationship with Allah. Otherwise, if it's not for these reasons, you're wasting your time. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. Night is for sleep. It's for relaxing. And day is for working. There are some youth, they do the opposite. Instead of sleeping at night, they stay up all night and they sleep during the day.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was another episode of today's special. Of course, we opened a new topic about laziness and Islamic viewpoint about it. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode. I invite you to rejoin us again. Till then, have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They
told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.